for the fathers. It's a special day for fathers today, and I know the Lord has placed it on her heart. Amen. First, Father, anoint her. May she have total recall into the words that you wanted her to share this morning, Lord. Fill her with your spirit and total remembrance, Lord, and that these words may find a lodging place in our hearts and in our spirits, and that we might apply them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, that's short. Okay. Oh, Lord, would you stand with me, please? And would you open your Bibles? Where am I? To Matthew. We'll start at verse 10. Matthew, I'm sorry. Oh, there I am. Okay. Should I... Okay, thank you. All right, Matthew chapter 6, please, and verse 10. Glory to God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we are here, O God, to display your goodness. We are here to display your Son's goodness. We are here to be led by the Spirit of the living God. And Father, I just ask you that if you would continue to put your heart on my heart, your words in my mouth, O God, that you would be honored at such a season and time as this, that there would be truth, Lord God, in this word, the anointing and the truth that breaks yokes over us, that we could see clearly, Lord God, that we could understand and we can follow you closely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen, amen, my Lord and my God. You know, today is Father's Day, so I was thinking so much about the word Father and what that really means in God's eyes. And Jesus told the disciples, which is also telling us, to speak this, our Father. Jesus, we know, was God's, God, we know was God, we know that God is Jesus' Father. But Jesus came and brought us under that wing and brought us into the realm that God is also our Father. And when the disciples said, teach us how to pray, how should we pray? He said, this is how you start, our Father. Now, Jesus didn't say, my Father. He said, our. He was just bringing everybody under that same umbrella that we have a Holy Father. Amen? He said, my Father is your Father. When I pray, I say my Father. When you pray, say our Father or my Father, because that's who he is. He is your Father. Of course, God is a father to Jesus, his only son. But it's so deep to me. It's so illuminating to me that the same Father, that holy Jesus Christ, calls Father, we call Father. It's a holy family, but the depth of that, just think of it, that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, the same person that he called Father, we call Father. To me, I tell you, I can't even explain how that awakens my heart. Do the angels call God Father? No, they do not. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 5 says, To which of the angels did God ever say, today you are my son? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son, which is the scripture in Hebrews. He said, I have not spoken that to any of the angels. So the holy, mighty angels of God do not call him father. But yet, men and women on the face of this earth get to call God Father. Is that not thrilling? Is that not exciting? The love of the Father for his children is so immense. It is so great. It is so heavy, so big. The love of God for all of his children. Although Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he is also God's Son. And the meaning of Messiah in Hebrew is the Anointed One. Now, if we acknowledge that God is our spiritual Father, then we become consecrated because we want to be like him. We want to be like Jesus. Amen? That we can't do enough for our Father. We can't do enough for our brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we become consecrated into the family. You know, we think of Abraham, and he is called the father of many nations. It was Abraham's steadfast faith, his unquestioning obedience, and his constant seeking of God that is believed to be a reason why God chose Abraham to be the first patriarch of the Hebrews and ultimately the rest of the nations. He was called by God to leave his own country, to leave his own people, and to go on a journey to an undesignated land. Didn't know where he was going, but he was called out by God. And God said, leave everything behind. Gather up your loved ones and just leave. And he became the founder, Abraham did, of a new nation. He is also called the father of Judaism, the first Jew. This is how Abraham became a father by being so obedient to Jesus Christ and to Father God. So obedient to the Father that the Father was able to call him son. For Jews, Abraham is seen as the one from whom all Jews have descended. Abraham is the father of Isaac, right? And the grandfather of Jacob, who is renamed Israel, and whose 12 sons represent the tribes of Israel. Father Abraham, Father Abraham, because of his obedience, everything that God had in his heart was set in order. For Christians, Abraham is seen as the father of the faith and is honored again and again and again for his obedience to God. Honored for his obedience, yet God tested Abraham. And it wasn't easy for Abraham, I'm sure, to leave everything behind, everything he knew, his father's land, his family's land, and just gather everything together and in his obedience walk away, like I said before, not even knowing where he was going. And God tested Abraham many ways, many times. God never tempts us. Satan does. But God the Father will test us. I wonder if right now anything is coming to your mind when you feel you have been tested or are being tested, or maybe long ago. I'm getting some giggles. And when we think of that, did we pass the test? Did we fail? Did we have moments of faith and putting all our trust in the Lord? And then were there moments of like losing that and getting a little weak in that area? Yes, I see heads bobbing. Yes. Now, God spoke to Abraham. And Abraham, that he would be a father. But 1 year went by, 2 years went by, a decade went by, another decade went by. Abraham was like so old, 100 years old. But God spoke to him and said he would have a son. And even those things that God has spoken to you about that hasn't come to pass, if God spoke them, they will come to pass. And God knows the hour. And God is so perfected in timing and in every way. Abraham waited for that son. And you know, Sarah was like, my womb is not alive. Sarah started to wonder, you know, how could this be? And God came forth as a faithful father to Abraham and brought forth a son. And then he gets tested again. Oh, he left everything behind and he went out to find a land where he didn't know he was going because God told him to go. But God gives him a son, and now God says, go and sacrifice your son to me. Can you imagine that? This is God. Now, sacrifice your son. Do you know how much pride and joy Abraham, being a father, had in his son? Do you know that Abraham was flesh and blood, like you, like me? So what did he do after waiting so long, so many years? In his old age, now God is saying, sacrifice your son. It wasn't his son that was to be sacrificed. It was Abraham being sacrificed. Because I can imagine that God was kind of grasping onto Abraham's heart and just kind of like going to pull it out of his being, his heart. What did Abraham do? Well, he started building a fire, and he started going on with what God told him to do. Again, Father Abraham. Excuse me? Father Abraham was someone that we can still admire and honor to this day. Yes, his obedience. Better than sacrifice. So in his heart, he was going to sacrifice his son. But yet deep down inside of him, I believe that he knew, I'm going to carry this out. But God is going to do something so great, so wonderful here. Our Father, who tests his children, hallowed be his name. God knows if we'll fail or not. I believe that. But he wants us, I believe, to see what is inside of us. And he wants us to be able to see it and to be willing to change. Who knows what kind of tests we're going to go through in a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 5 years from now. Tests. And to those that persevere, I will keep you from the darkest hour that will come upon the world. That's the scripture in Revelation. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. We have to take our walk with God so seriously and make sure that we are right with God moment by moment. Oh, listen, none of us are perfect. I don't strive for perfection because I know I'll never have it. But I do strive to please the Lord. Amen? None of us are perfect. Even like Job, I believe God knew Job would pass the test. Yet God wanted Job, to know him. Because out of everything that Job went through, he came to know God better. I want to come to know God better without going through those kinds of things. What about you? I want to know God. I want to know my Heavenly Father. But I really don't want to go through those things. So I'll stay in the Word, Lord, because when I open up the Word, I'm opening up your heart, and I want to know you. But there are tests. Job chapter 42, verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. I don't think he literally saw God, because the Word says that no man will see God and live. But he got to see him better in his mind. He got to understand God better. He had a better picture of the Father after all that he went through. And God blessed him. God blessed him. God tested him because Satan thought, that little man's going to crumble and curse you. God said, no, he won't. I know my son. God knows each one of you and has us all living at a time like this, such a time like this. And I believe that God knows us and will bring us to a place strengthening us. We're being strengthened today. I believe that. Our faith is being strengthened, and even, you know, our faith in all that God will do as far as keeping us, his keeping power. God will strengthen us more and more as time goes on if we persevere. That's the word. Perseverance. Okay? After Job went through all that he did, losing his children, all of his children, he used to pray for them every day, the word says. He lost everything but his nagging wife, really. She said, curse God and die. Ooh, ladies. Woo. But Job knew God better. Afterwards, he understood God better. Afterwards, and Job was able to surrender to him. He no longer had fears. You can, if you really study the book of Job, you'll see that he lit candles for his children every day and he prayed, and I feel that his greatest fear was probably losing them. He no longer had doubts. When he saw God, he no longer had questions. he was silenced. God intended to accomplish something good in Job, something wonderful. Suffering drives many of us to first question God, but later to trust him and to know him better. I believe that Job was able to see God in a different way and probably a different dimension. A greater way. Our Father wants each of us to see him and know him in that greater way. In Genesis chapter 22, it speaks of Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac to the Lord. God was testing to see if his needs and his desires were overpowering him. And God will test us to see if our needs and our desires overpower our love and faithfulness to God. Our needs and our desires. It's who I am. Would you give your son or your daughter to God that way? It's mind-boggling. Would you sacrifice your precious child for God? Abraham waited so long for that child. Now God was asking for the life of that child. How difficult was that for Abraham? As I said, he was so obedient. God tested him, and he passed the test. Now comes another test when Abraham left his home. It was bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Sacrifice him? But this occasion was another demonstration of God testing one of his children. Fathers, here I speak to you. You will all be tested. Special are you. Those of you that have children, God is calling you to father them the way he wants to father them. Those of you who do not have children, you are still a father. There are people, there are sons in your lives. Just look around and you will see them, and God wants you to father them, speak to them. I mean that with all my heart. I think of David would come in church here, David. And I think of Rohan. Anything you speak to him will be coming from a father. When you speak to him, whether you compliment him, whether you give him direction in life, whether you share something about your own life, hard things you've gone through, being transparent, when you speak to David, that's a spiritual father speaking to a spiritual son. And God has called each and every one of you into that place, men, to be fathers. The things that you speak to your children, they will never forget, especially if you see giftings in them and you tell them what you see. Their teachers can say it, even their moms, but when the father speaks, to a person younger than himself, they will never forget. Fathers, you will be tested. To be a father is to be a head, the head of the home. Abraham did not tell Isaac what God told him to do. Get up on that altar. Get the kindling, get the wood up there and climb up on that altar. He didn't tell Isaac. He kept it in. He held it within himself. Sometimes fathers need to keep things in and not share some things not even with their own wives or children. When God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, Abraham did not say, let me go talk to my wife, I'll be right back. You are the heads of the homes. Sometimes I think, wives, we expect too much from you. When even sometimes God will be saying something and you may not follow through with it because you don't want to upset your wife. We're thinking deeply today, aren't we? We're thinking deeply. I'm the son of the living God, and I want to be obedient to him first. And wives, we have to realize that. Jesus prayed, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. What a difficult prayer. Take this cup from me, Jesus said. But nevertheless, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son for him. God stopped Abraham, didn't he? God must have been so pleased with Abraham. Our Father God sacrificed his son for us. Abraham got a little taste of that as he was told to sacrifice his son. But God said, no. Now I know that you fear me, is what God said. Now I know how you fear me. Holy fear, holy reverence to God. What a father God is. We can't understand it all. But our father took his son and allowed that son, even though that son cried to him at Gethsemane, take this away from me. He was in such a state that his own body, the blood started coming out of his pores. His whole body was so disrupted. Father, nevertheless, your will be done. Wow. Sometimes our children become living sacrifices when we put God first. Now we have to keep this in order. We have to understand, you know, I believe my own husband, he has expressed and felt at times that he didn't spend enough time with his children because he spent so much time and energy being the principal of Copeg Christian Academy and pastor of Full Gospel Christian Church. The academy was just in its infant stages. It was just being birthed. He wasn't looking to be a principal, but he was asked by Pastor Davey, Eugene, would you just do this for a while? Would you just fill this gap for a while? We need somebody. And how many years has it been? Almost 40 years ago. And I know that my husband has expressed. Now, I'm not saying to ignore your children. I'm not saying to, you know, we're parents. We're called to be parents to them, fathers to your children. But sometimes we have to realize that God's calling, we have to understand God's calling moment by moment. But God. God has covered our children because my husband was obedient in God's work. He has felt like maybe he sacrificed his sons. Sacrificed his sons for God. But God has covered them. How they look to their father. How they honor him. They love their father. Truly they do. You know, I want to just share some things about a woman. Her name is Ziggy Ablander. And years and years ago, Ziggy did a retreat for us, and my life was changed. And then a few years ago, I asked her to come back here and do a small retreat for us, and I didn't know other churches would come. Other people would come. They heard Ziggy's going to be at the hotel. A lot of other people came. But I want to bring her up because she sacrificed for God. And, you know, I love her teachings. Some of them are a little hard to read. She's German. She has an accent. She uses words. But she has truly walked the walk. Nobody is perfect. I'm not putting her on a pedestal. But from everyone, I know so many people, you know, over the years. But I would say Ziggy laid her life down and sacrificed herself for God. When she was a little girl, she used to walk in her mom and dad's apartment and saying, she would walk back and forth, "Mom, I'm going to do big things for God. I know it. Mom, I'm going to do difficult things for God. I know it. Mom, I'm going to do dangerous things for God. I know it." God started calling her when she was very young. She said, "I'm going to do important and difficult things for God when I get big. Something dangerous." I have her books. She knew. She's a strong woman of vision and purpose. She was born in East Berlin, behind the Iron Curtain. Her story is about a life of suffering. Ziggy ran for freedom as the Nazis were conquering Europe. She survived the atrocities of Nazi Germany. She escaped from Berlin. She was a victim of war, brainwashing. She was sacrificing her life to smuggle Bibles into Europe. She would put Bibles under her clothes, under her coat. She would carry them. She would go into the most dangerous areas. They would have killed her in a split second if they knew. And she kept going back, and she kept going back. She would hold little like little Bible studies here and there where she could. She brought the word of the Lord into such a dark, dark place. Now, Ziggy Ablander said, she was in the book that I was reading, she had written a few things about Abraham. "Sometimes," she said, "when God fulfills our dreams, we think that is it." Now she was saying, if we have a dream and we're fulfilling, we're reaching toward that dream, when finally it's fulfilled, we think that's it. But it's not over. In fact, it's just the beginning. When you have a dream and it is fulfilled, then comes a time for you to be awakened after that dream. Some of us just keep on sleeping. So Abraham slept in the fulfillment of his dream. One day God shook him and woke him up. Some of us are waking up to the realization that God is different in ways that we think. There is this awareness about God's ways beyond our limitations, she said, tragedies and joys of this present age. He wakes us up and rents the veil of carnality from our spiritual eyes and gives us a glimpse into eternity, which causes us to know we are born for a destiny, a way beyond our human understanding. I remember how she spoke about each of us have a destiny, each of us, and how to go after God and hear from him, hear from the Father about our destiny. Fulfill that destiny, but don't fall asleep afterwards because you've just begun. Father Abraham, she said, was the first one ever to experience what it is to be a living sacrifice. If you are a living sacrifice, you no longer choose what you want to do and where you must go. You become a victim to the mighty will and purposes of God. Otherwise, you can never be a living sacrifice. Fathers, you have a voice. You have a tongue. You can hurt and stifle your children, or you can empower and encourage your children. The tongue is so very powerful. It can scream out curses, or it can bring out blessings. Amen? In the Old Testament, the fathers spoke over their children, and they spoke destiny and administered encouragement. Speak over your children. See things in them that they don't even see in themselves. But when you speak it, you're planting a seed that will come alive. They will walk in that way. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob speaks over the children, 12 of them. It's never too late. He was old and he was dying, and he was in his dying bed, and he called all the sons, grandsons, whatever, around him. And he spoke what he saw with the help of the Lord in each one of them. Speak over your sons, your daughters, your grandsons, your granddaughters, or your spiritual children. And look around. You have spiritual children. It is so powerful, and your children will never forget moments. He called for his sons. He's called for the children. He blessed each one and spoke into their lives. He warned them. He gave each one a piece of land. He prophesied over them. Fathers, you can shape your children's future by the words you speak over them. You're anointed to do that, and it's powerful. If you don't have natural children, like I said, you're still called to be a father. Look for a son. It could even be someone you see now and then. Consider him a son. Speak encouragement into his life. Pray for him. Be transparent with him. Tell him you are and will be praying for him. Tell him what you see. Tell him what you see. Men, don't let shame or disappointment in yourself, or being too timidness, what would the word be? Timidity, thank you. Or anything stop you from reaching your destiny. Don't. Know who you are in Christ. Remember, your destiny belongs to God. It's his destiny for you. Not just your dreams, but to be able to pinpoint what God sees in you, what the Father speaks over you, and what God is calling you to. Each of you have gifts. Perhaps they're not alive inside of you because you have not moved in them. The word says, stir up the gifts within you. It's not too late. You have wisdom inside of you, wisdom that comes with age, especially. Speak wisdom to a younger person. Even if you don't see any fruit now, speak. Your tongue is anointed for such a time as this. You have an inheritance inside of you for others. Now, what we wanted to do was we wanted to have a time of prayer for each man that is here. But also, my husband wanted to bless you. Do you have that? Or did you give it to me? Oh, here it is. So if all of the men in this room will stand up.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Like Pastor Dye said, whether you're a biological father or just a spiritual father, we're all still fathers, and there are those that we can pour into. And you've had experiences that the younger generation hasn't had. And, you know, someone once said we should listen to the advice of our elders because we don't live long enough to make all the mistakes ourselves. You know, so we've had experiences. There are things that each of us have gone through that we can pour into and we can advise. They may not listen to you, but it will come back. There'll be a confirmation there. So when you have opportunity, pour into their lives. And I just want to read some promises for fathers. Amen? It says, and this is from Philippians. It says, when you need strength, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. In Philippians, it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When you need wisdom, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's in James. When there are family tensions, it says in Ephesians, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. When you're concerned for the future, it says in Jeremiah, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. I'm sorry, in Proverbs. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. In Jeremiah, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. When you face difficult problems, anybody ever face difficult problems? It says in Hebrews, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help him in time of need. When you face financial trouble, it says in Philippians, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ. And that scripture is in response, because I don't like when it's taken out of context. It's in response to the Philippians giving, sacrificially giving first, and then it was spoken over to them by Paul that, and in turn, my God will supply all your needs. When you're worried, spoke about it last week, Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When God doesn't seem real to you, says in Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. When you face career choices, says in Proverbs, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. In Matthew, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When you're tempted, any of us ever tempted, it says in Corinthians, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptations, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And when you wonder, does God really love me? It says in Romans, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When you need forgiveness, and we all do, it says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And finally, when you need assurance, it says in John, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He doesn't come into judgment, but has passed from death to life.
Woo, that's good.
Amen. Amen. I want to pray for all of the fathers, all the men here. Just close your eyes with me. Heavenly Father, I pray you reach down your mighty hand by the power of your Spirit. Let it rest upon every man, every father that's here this morning, Lord. Father, as we walk through the difficult times in life, Father, we even question our own selves and our own wisdom and our own knowledge, Father. Thank you that we can turn to you and you will pour into us, and we in turn can pour into those that you've entrusted to us. Father, it's not easy in this world we live in today. It's more difficult than ever to live the life that you've called us to live and hold up the standards that you want us to hold up, be held up. Father, help us as we walk. Help each and every father here this morning, each and every man, Father, to not fall short of what you've called us to be. Father, I pray you uphold us, undergird us, and strengthen us to be able to overcome till the end, endure till the end, and to persevere in all that you've called us to be. Father, I pray your grace be upon each and every man here today. Bless them. And I pray if they're with their families today, that they will receive love and they will receive the honor that they deserve, Lord. Father, I thank you for each and every one that's here this morning, each and every man and father. And Lord, most of all, I thank you that we can call you our Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, just before we close, I'd like to call Pastor Jorge and Sister Elizabeth to come on up.
Maybe she could sing this song first, and then we can pray.
Okay. Right? Before
they
pray,
can come up too.
My Sister Denise has a song.
Yes, come.
That she wants to share. Before
a
we
blessing.
Pray.
This song. No, for you too.
Stay
please
here.
Stay
no,
here.
Stay here with us.
It's for you. This
it's
song
for
is
you.
For you. And this song will be a blessing over your future.
Praise God. What wonderful message. And, you know, there was a time that I was going through a situation with my mom. And she was on the verge of losing her house. And I didn't know it because I'd been estranged from her. But God brought me back into her life at that time. And the only way she would leave her house, she said, was if she got a little teeny house, you know, to live in. Because she didn't want to live with anybody. So I found a house. We found a house, like, immediately right down the block from me. And my mother loved it. And it was like, oh, praise God, this is wonderful. Well, by the time she was able to purchase the house, they said, oh, no, we're not selling the house. And it's like, oh, my gosh. So now my mom was with me, and she was quite upset. And I was just crying out to God, saying, oh, Lord, I need to hear from you. Because we have to know that God is always there with us. But I felt I was not hearing from him. And then the Lord gave me this song, Everywhere I Go. And it started out for just me, but it's not. It's for every single one of us. To do and say everywhere I go, everywhere I go, every step I take, I claim for your kingdom as Moses and then Joshua before. I'm taking back the land and standing in your promise, anointed by the Spirit of the Lord everywhere I go. Everywhere we go, we're called to heal their broken hearts, proclaiming liberty to all those who are bound. Some will preach and some will sing or dance or pray, releasing your light all around. Everywhere we go, everywhere we go, your light will pierce through layers of gross darkness, revealing truth, exposing Satan's lies. We carry the authority of Jesus to cast out demons and from a death bring life. Everywhere we go, everywhere we go, the name of Jesus reigns supreme. As we proclaim it, miracles will be released. Then stepping out in faith, believing your word, these mighty victories will never cease. Everywhere we go, everywhere we go, you've given us your word with its instructions, a lamp unto our feet, light to our path. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, Lord, they will block Satan's wrath. Everywhere we go, everywhere we go, we must put on our armor every day. Please let us not forget this simple plan. We're in a war and you've equipped us, Lord. Having done all with you, we will stand everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Blessed be the Lord, the rock, who trains our hands for war and fingers for the fight. Loving you is our reward. As we obey you, our steps you will light. Everywhere we go, everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, we will hear you clearly. Everywhere we go today, everywhere we go, we will feel you near, Lord, to lead and guide us on our way. Everywhere we go, yes, everywhere I go,
up and let's pray.
If you would like to come up and just join us.
Come up and pray.
God bless you.
Feel free to join us.
Elizabeth will be with us for about another month, right? About 40 days or something, but Pastor Jorge will be leaving around the Thursday, I believe.
Yes, it's coming
Thursday.
So
let's come, let's just final prayer. And he will be back. He said he's going to come back. God willing, and spend a couple of months here every year. And that we will look forward to.
Oh, this Tuesday is their anniversary. 35 years.
35 years.
Hallelujah.
Wow,
beautiful timing.
Come.
You were 10 when you got married? Forgive him, Lord. Forgive him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this couple. We thank you for Jorge. We thank you for Elizabeth.
Jesus' name.
We thank you that you called them
yes.
many, many years ago, Lord, and you had a plan for their lives. And Father, you've walked them through the mm-hmm. plans. And I know in their minds, sometimes they questioned when. You're calling us to do this and do that, but it doesn't seem to be happening. But your timing is perfect.
Yes.
And Father, now you are bringing to fruition those promises that you made to them, those words that were spoken over to them, those seeds that you planted in their hearts to touch other peoples in other lands.
Yes.
And Father, now as they finally step into their destiny, Lord, and they go into this place of missionary work to raise up pastors and teachers and other leaders in the body of Christ to touch many others instead. Lord, we pray that you go with them, that you make the way easy, you provide for them financially, spiritually, earthly, every single way that they would have what they need and have the comforts even that they need to be able to do what you've called them to do without hindrance, Lord. I pray your blessing upon their bodies, Lord, that even as they go back to this land, although it's homeland, Father, the differences in the climate, the water, the food, Lord, that you would keep them healthy and strong in order to do the things you've called them to do, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I just pray that you prepare them and you equip them, Father, as I know you've already been doing in their lives, to prepare this calling that you've called them to, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So now as they go, I pray you go with them. May the journey be easy. Father, even the time of separation that they're going to experience these next few weeks, Father, I pray you draw them even closer, Lord.
Yes.
May your hand be upon them. May you sustain them physically and spiritually, Lord. Give them the wisdom beyond understanding to pour into many lives and accomplish much for your kingdom.
Yes.
We love you in advance and trust you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You,
praise
Lord.
God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Happy anniversary, you guys.
Hallelujah.
We'll be praying for your family, your children, your mom. We'll keep everyone in prayer. Everyone will do well. Love you, sister.
Amen.
But the cafe is not open today because it's Father's Day. Give everybody an opportunity to be with your loved ones.
That was beautiful.
I'm sorry. I didn't even say that I had anything to do with you when you asked me to, you know, that you said fine.
I didn't even acknowledge you in that you had, you know, that I had mentioned it and you thought it would be fine to say, I'll shut up.
Well, I was the one that, you know, so everybody knows.
Right.
Yeah. No.
No.
Love you, baby girl.
Love you.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
that was
lovely.
That was so anointed and so. The moment and the people, everything was just so special. It was the Lord. Thank you so much. What a song. What a song, huh? How beautiful. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, that's it. That's right. Thank you. Thank you so much. I love you.
Come on.